Welcome back to the Brittany Hughes Show. Happy Thursday, everybody. California, the gift that keeps on giving. I will give this to California. For all that they may be helping to drag our country to hell in a handbasket, for all we may be crying sad tears about the national state of affairs, and part of that being because of the voters out there in California who just continue to support completely asinine things, the one thing that that state continues to give us are stories worthy of laughter and mocking. And sometimes that's enough. For example, this week, did you hear... Again, things that I cannot believe I'm saying out loud. There was a police department out in California that actually had to post a PSA on social media telling people, telling their residents to please, please stop clogging up 911 emergency lines with phone calls about UFOs after it turns out that the UFOs they were calling to report were planets.
Well, cosmic light show tonight as Venus and Jupiter crossed paths a little after sunset. You might have seen it. Several CBS 13 viewers, in fact, called in about the unusual sight. But according to NASA, this impressive sky-high sight doesn't have any real scientific significance. It's just pretty nice to look at.
Planets in the night sky. Apparently, And maybe you noticed this back earlier this week, if you or last week, excuse me, if you happen to be a stargazer or you keep up with such things. So last week on March the 1st, the planets Jupiter and Venus, which are already two of the brightest objects that we can see in the night sky, happen to be unusually close to one another. How close? About 400 million miles apart, which in space terms is actually pretty quite close. As a matter of fact, they will not be that close until 2032. That's the next time that we'll be able to see this phenomenon. Now, most people just kind of went about their lives, probably didn't even know that this was happening, unless you took a gander up at the night sky or, again, you follow these things. But the people in Stanislaus County in California, which is just to the east of San Francisco, apparently were scared out of their wits. Maybe the sky was extra clear over this particular county. I don't know why this county of all places, but the local police department was absolutely inundated with phone calls from people reporting UFOs who were a little bit nervous that these were some mysterious, suspicious lights that just kind of seemed to be hovering in the sky very close together, to the point where the local sheriff's department actually had to post on Facebook and Twitter, please stop calling us. This is an emergency line for emergencies only. These are planets, people. This is Venus and Jupiter. You do not need to call us. There's nothing that we can do about it. Actually had to put that out there. Now, in all fairness, I did not know this till I started looking up this story. In all fairness, Venus, apparently, didn't know this, is the most commonly misreported UFO ever because of its brightness in the sky. And it, on occasion, if it's a very clear night or if it's in the right position or the right, you know, angle from the sun, it can appear like a very bright spotlight in the sky. And apparently it freaks a whole mess of people out, and it does it like all the time. People call about Venus constantly. But in this particular case, the phone lines were so clogged up that the sheriff's department actually had to respond, which prompts the question from me. And maybe you were one of the people in California calling. I don't know. Again, I'm not saying that it's not possible to mistake something. I just have one question. What the heck do you think a local police department is going to do? Let's say that the aliens are invading. Let's say that this is an actual UFO. I don't know. I can even understand why people might have been concerned that this was another Chinese spy balloon. After all, President Joe Biden recently let one of those take a nice 8 or 9 day jaunt across the entire continental United States and didn't shoot it down till it had already gotten from coast to coast and collected whatever it is that they were going to collect. And then we finally decided that we were going to shoot it down. Because Joe Biden, I don't know, finally got told about it, finally was senile enough for 5 seconds to understand what it was he was being told, whatever it was that caused him to make this decision. Finally, 8 or 9 days later, off the coast of South Carolina, we finally shoot down this Chinese spy balloon. So I can understand why people might have been a little bit concerned that maybe something was going on. I don't know, maybe get that little like stargazer app on your phone and just point it at the sky, see if what you're looking at really is... I don't know what you're looking at. Maybe it's a star. Maybe it's a planet. I don't know. It's a free app. You can do it without calling the police department. But even if it was, even if it was something of note, what in the world is the local police department going to do? How is calling 911 going to help? I don't know. Maybe it's because the military doesn't have a 1-800 number or something. I find this kind of ridiculous that people were actually clogging up the 911 emergency line over to Jupiter and Venus. So just to say, and again, maybe that was you. Maybe you've called over Venus before. I don't really know. I would urge you to maybe find a different outlet to see whether what you're looking at is actually of concern or not before you go calling the police and wasting their time. You know, especially given the fact that out in California, there's a deficit of police because they're constantly being defunded. They've got enough problems already out in California. Don't clog up the emergency line complaining about stars and planets. Just a PSA, just kind of future preemptively. If you happen to look up at the night sky, by the way, and you see kind of like this big spotlight, sort of looks like it was made out of cheese. Not the Death Star. Nobody's coming to blow up the Earth. Just the moon. Just saying.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
But of course, stuff like this comes out of California all the time, and it's completely mockable because after all, out in California, I know that there are good people. I know that there are some very conservative parts of California that are just aghast at what's happening in the rest of their state, but you can't blame anybody for mocking California because after all, this state is a complete and total dumpster fire, and it's run by some of the biggest idiots on the planet, not the least of which is Governor Gavin Newsom. You remember good old Gavin Newsom, hypocrite in charge of just running this state into the ground, doesn't know his head from a hole in the wall. How in the world this guy keeps getting put in charge of things, I will never be able to tell you. Because if it weren't for all of the lying and the hypocrisy, all you'd have to do is take a look at his track record and see that, I mean, this man shouldn't be running the local dog pound, much less an entire state. It's all going to hell in a handbasket over in California. Crime is rampant. They could barely keep the lights on. They can't keep their forest floors clean. They've got wildfires raging every single summer. Homelessness is out of control. Drug use is out of control. Homelessness is out of control. Have I mentioned the crime? This is a crime-ridden hellscape at this point, which is a huge bummer because California boasts some of the most absolutely incredible geography in the entire continental United States. I'm not saying that beaches have to be your favorite thing, but if that's what you're into, California has got some phenomenal ones. It should be one of the most amazing places to go visit, and yet instead of wanting to be there, California residents are actually fleeing this state in droves for places like Texas and Florida. Unfortunately, a lot of the time, they take their crappy politics with them and then wonder why the states that they moved to end up getting just as screwed up as the ones that they fled from. But people are literally exiting California. Businesses are exiting California in droves to get away from this socialistic nonsense that is pushed by jackholes like Newsom. And meanwhile, instead of getting all of the stuff together that he has absolutely wrecked with all of these policies, rather than focus on homelessness or focus on drug use or focus on, you know, the rampant crime that's out of control that local cities like Los Angeles continue to exacerbate by basically rolling back penalties on criminals, rather than focusing on these very real issues that are causing people to flee his state like bats out of hell, Newsom is doing crap like this. This week, Gavin Newsom targeted Walgreens, saying that his state will not do business with the retail chain after the major drug store said that it will not be distributing abortion pills by mail to nearly 24 Republican-led states over legal concerns.
Governor Newsom said today the state won't do any more business with Walgreens because the company is refusing to sell a specific abortion pill in about 20 states. That's because in February, attorneys general in all of those states warned Walgreens against mailing mifepristone.
So this is Newsom's grandstand here. We're not going to do any business with Walgreens because they're not going to sell abortion pills by mail in about 20 red-leaning states. Now, let's break this down a little bit because there are several layers of ridiculousness to this. First of all, it's not exactly clear what he means by severing ties with Walgreens, which is what he threatened to do.
Today, the governor tweeted out the state won't be working with any company that cowers to the extremists and puts women's lives at risk.
Nobody actually knows what exactly that means. What does it mean that California is going to sever ties with Walgreens? Nobody's really sure. Local outlets have called his office looking for some clarification, and they haven't gotten any as of yet. He can't exactly just kick this store out. It's not like he can say, okay, well, Walgreens, you're not allowed to operate here. That would trigger, of course, a whole entire chain of legal events that I have every suspicion Walgreens would probably win. You can't just kick a store out over ideology. But if Walgreens does enjoy some special perks, thanks to legislative loopholes or whatever, if there's something that Walgreens is enjoying at the behest of the state government, that may now be in jeopardy. In fact, that seems to be what Newsom is targeting here. And it's all because Walgreens will not offer mail order abortion pills to about 20 states. So now let's talk about that for a second. Before you run out and say, okay, well, I'm pro-life, so I'm going to shop at Walgreens. That sounds fantastic. Let's clarify here. Walgreens is not taking some pro-life stance. That's not what's happening here. As a matter of fact, Walgreens has come out and said, we will be happy to offer mail order abortion pills anywhere that it's legal to do so. But it doesn't make any business sense to offer something in a state where it has been made illegal. So if we're talking about a Republican state that has outlawed abortions or has outlawed mail order abortion pills, any state that has got laws on the books or will enact laws on the books that makes this illegal, why in the world would Walgreens put them in a position? They're not going to do something in a state where that action is illegal. That would make no business sense whatsoever. That would be setting themselves up for a legal battle. Now, should Walgreens completely get rid of abortion-inducing drugs for elective abortions? 100%. Those should be banned coast to coast because it is genocide. It is the targeted murder of innocent children. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about the morality here, which is a completely different discussion that I've gotten into many times before. We're talking about a company simply saying, we can't sell something in a place where that thing is illegal. And by the way, Walgreens isn't the only one. Walgreens is the first to come out and actually explicitly state that they're not going to do this, which was at the recommendation of their lawyer, by the way, or their team of lawyers. Rite Aid is sitting there waiting to see how this is all going to shake out and what states are going to do. It's not like other retail chains have come out and said, it doesn't matter if this state outlaws mail order abortion pills, we're going to sell them anyway. No, Walgreens is just the first to come out and say, we're not going to do that. Now, note here that we're talking about California. In California, abortions are super legal. You could practically murder a child a week after it's born, as far as California is concerned. California is one of the most wildly radical leftist states when it comes to infanticide in this country. As a matter of fact, the more science begins to reveal and the more science proves that children are actually unique human beings and who are worthy of the right to life, the more places like California open the doors wide open to murdering them for the convenience of the parent. This is what California does. Liberals have absolutely no sense of the right to life or the value of life or the sanctity of life. They do not care about it. All they care about is open sexuality with absolutely no repercussions, no consequences whatsoever. You can do whatever it is that you want, even if it costs a child their life. They do not care. That is Gavin Newsom's California. So Walgreens' decision not to sell mail order abortion pills in states where it's illegal doesn't affect California. Has nothing at all to do with California. You can still do that in California. You shouldn't because it's murder, but legally speaking, you can still do that in California. So essentially what Newsom is saying here is we're going to target this retail chain for doing something that makes good business sense in other states that have made their own laws, irrespective of what California decides to do. And the only thing that targeting Walgreens in California will do is harm Californians who then have to go somewhere else for their drugs or their toilet wine or their, I don't know, ear unclogger or lip gloss or whatever it is that you're buying at Walgreens. That's literally, there's nothing that California is going to benefit from here. And this, if you actually look at places where this has been done before, San Francisco, for example, is actually having to backtrack right now on one of their giant boycotts. So in San Francisco, you may recall, the city boycotted red states and travel to red states based on abortion laws. Now, this was back several years ago where the San Francisco city lawmakers essentially said that state employees or contractors with, or city employees rather, or contractors with the city cannot travel on taxpayer dime to red states that enact extreme abortion laws, i.e. wanting to protect the life of a preborn child. They expanded that to a slew of LGBTQ legislation and any state that tried to enact voter integrity laws. They kind of opened it up into this wide panorama of stuff that they said, if that state or that locale has laws on the books that we don't ideologically agree with, then you can't use taxpayer dollars to fund travel for our employees, whether it was for a conference or I don't know whether contractors were trying to get together to do cross-state business or whatever. You can't do that. They put a giant boycott. Turns out that didn't hurt anyone except for San Francisco. And now San Francisco is rethinking its boycott because it turns out it's really, really hard to do business with contractors. If you ban those contractors from traveling where they need to go, based on a city council's ideology. So local lawmakers are now concerned that it's going to cost the city millions of dollars to continue this boycott. As a matter of fact, there was a review that the city just paid for and conducted. They're already facing a $728 million budget deficit over the next 2 years. Shocking, right? That leftists continue to tax people out the wazoo and yet still run out of money. Fancy that. Never heard that one before. The review found that a loss in competition, thanks to this boycott, is likely to increase the city's contracting costs by 10 to 20% annually. The costs could continue to increase and compound over time as the city's potential contractor pool shrinks if the list of banned states grows. Nobody noticed. Red states carried on with their lives. The states that had enacted abortion bans to protect preborn children or had enacted laws to protect kids against trans indoctrination in public schools or had enacted voter integrity laws to try to protect the ballot box and make sure that voters who were eligible could vote, but that illegal voters would not be able to cast a ballot. Any state like that, any locale like that, continued on with their lives and were not affected at all. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure that any of them were really lamenting the loss of a whole bunch of San Franciscos coming into their town. Unlikely, I would say. San Francisco were the ones that ended up losing money. So again, these ideological boycotts, I'm not saying that boycotts can't ever work or that customers as individuals shouldn't choose where to put their money and where to withhold it. I'm not saying that. But these ideological boycotts by cities and states where it's just this giant virtue signaling, thumbing of the nose, that doesn't work. And it's not going to work here. Newsom's not hurting anybody but Californians. Not that, frankly, I care if he does that. He hurts Californians every single day with his nonsense policies. But he's not doing anything but hurting Californians, and he's not actually gaining his state anything at all. What's also interesting here is I seem to recall about 4 seconds ago when Ron DeSantis down in Florida was targeting Disney, which was a completely different situation. And liberals were losing their minds about it. So same exact liberals who are now praising Newsom for targeting Walgreens, even though the thing that Walgreens is doing that he doesn't like isn't even happening in his state, are the same exact liberals that were blasting Ron DeSantis for targeting Disney. Completely different situation, right? Because whereas the Walgreens situation has nothing at all to do with California, isn't going to affect California, Gavin Newsom could carry on with his crazy radical abortion agenda in California all he wants, and Walgreens would be more than happy to mail people abortion pills. No problem. As opposed to in Florida, where the reason that Ron DeSantis went after Disney was because this was a company that was actively working against a law passed by state lawmakers in Florida that simply prohibited teachers and administrators in public schools from providing pornography and sexually explicit materials to children. All it said was, anything that you teach upper grades about sexuality must be age appropriate, and you cannot teach kindergartners about cross-dressing. That was the gist of this law. And yet Disney, which is a major benefactor, or at least was, of Florida laws, came out against this law and actively stumped against it. In that case, a state absolutely has not only the right, but the obligation to push back against a company that is actively working to undermine a piece of legislation to protect their children. That makes perfect sense. But liberals didn't like that. No. Liberals didn't like that at all. Don't come after Disney. That's big government nonsense. Thought y'all weren't for big government. Same liberals that now think it's fantastic that Newsom is targeting Walgreens for what essentially amounts to a very understandable and realistic business decision that, frankly, they would be stupid not to make. Makes me wonder if places like Rite Aid and CVS end up coming out with the same exact policy, which frankly would only make sense unless they want to get sued out the wazoo by every state that doesn't allow mail order abortion pills. What's he going to do? Try to chase every single drugstore out? I mean, places like Walmart are already leaving certain California and Oregon cities because the shoplifting is so ridiculously out of control. I mean, stuff like this. In one California town, in Sacramento, a place called Work World, which is a bit ironic. This is a place where people actually go for work attire. Here are thieves literally just walking out of the store in broad daylight carrying trash bags full of stolen merchandise while the poor employee stands there unable to do a darn thing. You would think that if Gavin Newsom cared so much about his residents and their safety, his relationship with retailers, I don't know. You would think that if he cared at all about his state, he would be trying to get crap like this under control, but we can't do that, right? We actually have to raise the minimum of theft before somebody can be charged with a felony. We actually have to scale back penalties on criminals. We're just going to turn a blind eye to all of that. It doesn't matter if our stores get robbed in broad daylight and our people get shot in broad daylight and our trains get robbed in broad daylight. It doesn't matter that our children are having to play hopscotch over dirty syringes in the street just to get to school. None of that matters. What matters is what Walgreens is doing in Tennessee or whatever. Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Speaking of absolutely ridiculous, one of the things that you might find ridiculous is how much you are paying for health insurance for coverage that you don't need and that subsidizes medical procedures that you don't agree with. That is where Share Healthcare can help. So I'm partnering with Share Healthcare now to let people know about their Christian-based alternative to traditional health insurance. Share Healthcare is not health insurance. It is an ACA-exempt cost-sharing program between people of like-minded values who don't want to pay for coverage that they don't need and who don't want to pay medical costs for things like abortions or transgender surgeries for children that they don't agree with, that don't align with their Christian values. So with Share cost plans that start as low as $149 a month, Share Healthcare might be able to save you a lot of money without subsidizing things that go against your conscience. If you think that a Share cost plan might be right for you and your family in lieu of traditional health insurance, go to sharehealthcare.com, enter the referral code MRCTV23, that's sharehealthcare.com, MRCTV23, and look for a plan that is right for you today. Socialism, also the gift that keeps on giving. And by that, I generally mean the gift that keeps on taking. Just like over in Gavin Newsom land in California, where things have gone to pot thanks to all of these left-leaning policies and the garbage that comes out of them has never worked anywhere it's ever been tried, never will work in the history of mankind. And one of the chief espousers of this ideology that just never ceases to learn, of course, is the notorious AOC, who has found herself in quite a bit of hot water recently. So you remember AOC, if you recall, over the past couple of years, she is no stranger to ethics scandals. Little Miss Stalwart and True cares about the common man, would never, ever, ever tell a lie. She has got your back, Jack. She doesn't. You remember, it wasn't too long ago that she was caught up in one scandal where There was a company that she had started up well before her days in Congress. I say well before. It's not like she's been on the Earth planet that long, but before her days in Congress. And it turns out that she actually owed back taxes that she had never paid. She's all for taxing everybody else. She's all for taxing you and me. She wants to tax every single dime that we have, but she doesn't want to pay her own taxes. Well, now she is under investigation by the House Ethics Committee, now that it is in control of the Republicans. Of course, she was never going to come under investigation under when the House was controlled by Democrats. They don't have ethics, and they also don't investigate their own. That's not really under their purview. But AOC is now under a House ethics investigation after it turns out she probably violated the rules from last year's Met Gala. So do you remember when she showed up at the Met Gala? Remember, she wore this big, long, white flowing dress, and it had the words tax the rich emblazoned in red across her Kim Kardashian area. And she spent the whole entire night posing and looking over her shoulder so that everybody could see this tax the rich dress that she had on. Well, it turns out there are some serious questions about her night at the Met Gala. This was a big deal back then, and the irony was not lost on people that here she was wearing a couture designer gown that was worth about, I think the value of this thing was like $2,300. She was literally sporting the message tax the rich on a dress that was specifically designed for the rich. You could not get more ironic than this if you tried. Not only that, but she was flaunting it around a charity event that literally catered to the rich, surrounded by no one but the rich. It was terribly ironic, and it was very mockable at the time, and we did that because it was absolutely ridiculous, and it was very, very typical AOC. But now she may be in hot water over how exactly she got to the gala and a whole bunch of bills that she left unpaid after the fact. So, little bit of backstory that has come out thanks to this House Ethics Committee investigation. We now know a little bit more about AOC's little jaunt to the gala that night. Turns out she begged her way into the event by basically pandering repeatedly to Vogue's editor-in-chief, Anna Wintour. Her net worth, by the way, is about $50 million. I'm not sure if that qualifies as the rich. The left kind of has this nebulous, vague definition of the rich. Like if you recall Bernie Sanders, he used to hate millionaires till he became one, and then it became all about taxing the billionaires. So their definition of the rich sort of shifts depend on who they want to hobnob with that day, who they're trying to pander to, who they're trying to tax. Sometimes the rich is like super ultra billionaires. Sometimes the rich is like people making $100,000 a year. It's kind of a shifting goalpost. That's why when they say everybody should pay their fair share, they never actually define that. So I'm not sure if Anna Wintour, who AOC was wildly sucking up to get tickets into this event, whether she qualifies as the rich with her $50 million net worth. But that's who AOC begged her way into the gala from. She wanted two tickets, not just one, but two. She wanted to bring her boyfriend. Tickets to this event went for $35,000. So we're talking about 70 grand just to get in the door. After a whole lot of pandering, Vogue decided that they would in fact invite her as a guest, effectively paying her way into the event, her and her boyfriend, to the tune of about $70,000. Now, this would not necessarily have been unethical in terms of the House rules. Would have been laughable, would have been questionable, would have been a giant, should she really have done that kind of moment? After all, she's supposed to be against the rich, and here she is trying to get her way into a gala to hobnob with the rich. So all of those would have been legitimate questions, but it wouldn't have necessarily been an ethics violation, except for the fact that Vogue is part of a media firm that also owns a huge chunk of Spectrum, which is an internet and cable provider and is highly regulated by the federal government. So there is a House ethics rule that says that congressmen or congresspeople, whatever, we got to be all gender neutral now, that congressmen and congresswomen cannot accept that level of gift from companies and corporations that employ lobbyists. Who do you think employs lobbyists? Spectrum. Okay, so this was a major conflict of interest. And you might would think, okay, well, maybe AOC just didn't know that. Maybe she just didn't know that Vogue was owned by a company that also owned some of Spectrum. Maybe that was too far down the line. After all, she's got the IQ of a toaster oven. Maybe AOC just didn't know that and nobody in her staff knew that and it just kind of like fell by the wayside. She can't exactly use that excuse because she was warned before the event by her attorney. This is something that the House Ethics Investigation has found. Her attorney wrote to her staff, quote, "The Congresswoman could accept an invitation from the Met, but not from Vogue. Since Advanced Publications is a registered lobbyist, we'll need to be extra careful." Translation here, you can't go if you're invited by Vogue. Vogue can't pay your way in. And this was something her attorney told her staff before the event. Did that stop her from going? Of course not. It wasn't until after the event that AOC and her office attempted to distance themselves from Vogue like they weren't the ones who invited her in the first place. Now, after the gala, when all of this was kind of coming up with the House Ethics Committee, AOC's lawyer told congressional ethics officials that everything was totally on the up and up by saying that the congresswoman is paying personally for all other benefits, including the rental value of her dress, handbag, and accessories, shoes, hair, makeup, transportation, hotel room, staging, all of that stuff. Don't worry. She didn't take all of this as a gift. She is personally paying out of her poor, pitiful little $174,000 salary that is just a complete and total pittance, poor dear, for all of the other stuff. Which, again, still would not have absolved her of first getting in the door by basically taking a gift from a registered lobbying company, but also turned out to not be true. So here's the second question. On top of how she got into the event, turns out AOC actually refused to pay the vast majority of these vendors until well after the fact. So after the event, the House Ethics Committee found AOC's staff actually talked down the rental price of both her dress and her shoes to hundreds of dollars less than what they were worth. This was a $2,300 dress. They talked the rental price of it down to about $300. After the event, they also changed the purchase of her designer shoes to a rental worth hundreds of dollars less. So they basically tried to con their way out of this after the event, wiggle their way out of this, try to work with vendors. Well, can we pay you a little bit less than what we agreed to? I know it's hundreds of dollars, but there's no way we can mark that down a little bit, right? After all, this poor congresswoman, she only makes $174,000 a year. So, so pitiful. Makeup came to $344.85. AOC did not pay that bill for 6 months and only did so after the ethics investigation started, by the way. The makeup artist had to send the bill to a collection agency before AOC paid it, saying that the bill was extremely overdue. Hair, $477. Now, I'm not saying that AOC's hair didn't look good. I mean, whatever, it was a gala. I'm sure everybody's hair probably looked good. $477, though. I don't know what hairdresser she went to. I ain't never paid $477 for hair before. But apparently that's what her bill came to. She also didn't pay that until the ethics investigation had begun. And only after the hairstylist had emailed AOC's staff saying, "It would look terrible if we had to file a complaint with the New York Department of Labor against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, i.e. pay your freaking bill, lady, or I'm calling somebody." That's what it came to, for this hairstylist to get paid. The list goes on. Transportation from the Bronx to the Carlisle Hotel, $586. Must have been a heck of a limo. She didn't repay her $180 share for that ride until 8 months later. The car service from the Carlisle to the museum, $571. That wasn't paid until May. The hotel that she stayed at that night ran $4,602.92. She didn't reimburse the designer for that until May of 2022. Oh, and by the way, She wasn't the only one trying to get freebies here. Her boyfriend's shoes and bow tie cost about $406. That wasn't reimbursed until May of 2022 as well. And it was only repaid after AOC's staff realized that her boyfriend probably shouldn't be getting free gifts because that went against House Committee rules. They were trying to get that free at first. And then when it turns out that that probably wasn't going to be on the up and up, only then did they pay it. Here we have now a lesson, both in AOC's utter hypocrisy and in socialism and how it works. So AOC is queen of, we need to pay people for their work, right? We need to up the minimum wage to like $45 an hour. All of these vendors, all of these people, people that do hair, people that do makeup, people that do nails, people that drive cars, these are working class people and they deserve to get paid and we should mandate that they get paid certain amounts even if that bankrupts the small businesses that they work for because those businesses can't afford to pay that amount. We need to federally mandate this because people deserve to get paid for their work. And yet here she is, refusing to pay people for their work. Running up tabs that she knew well beforehand she was going to run up, but that she clearly had no intention of paying for until an ethics investigation was begun that essentially forced her to pay her bills, because otherwise that would just be listed as more gifts that she probably shouldn't have received. Here she was going to get into this gala come hell or high water, even if she had to do so unethically, and we'll just sort of figure out how to get past that after the fact. But dang it, she wanted to get in that door. Didn't matter that all of the people in it were supposedly the rich that she wants to tax out the wazoo. Didn't matter that those are all the people that she's supposed to hate for the benefit of the working class. AOC is a socialite who happens to work in politics. This is a woman that does not care about her constituents. This job is not about doing what is best for the people that she was sent to Washington to represent, which, by the way, there were like four of them that voted for her. She really didn't pull that many votes. The entire way that she got into office in the first place, it wasn't because everybody in her district just thought she was so incredibly fantastic. And she really doesn't have a whole lot of interest in representing them or even meeting them. As a matter of fact, she spends very little time and this has been well documented over several years now. She spends very little time in the congressional offices in her district. This is a woman that absolutely loves the power and the prestige and the fame that comes with her position. There is a reason that she basically just throws out sound bites. There's a reason that she tries to act like a Pentecostal preacher on the House floor whenever she gets a chance so that she can wind up being a viral video on Twitter. This woman loves attention. And that's what she wanted at the Met Gala. And that's what she got for about 4 seconds. And now she's trying to unspool this giant ball of yarn that she's tangled up after it turns out she's a wild, raging hypocrite. She wasn't paying people for the work that they did. Rules for thee, but not for me, right? But as much as this is a lesson in her own hypocrisy, and the fact that she doesn't care about the little person, she doesn't care about the working person, she doesn't care about paying people for the work that they've done, she doesn't care about sticking it to the rich as long as she can be one of them. That's not just a lesson in her own hypocrisy. This is a lesson in the truth behind socialism, because the one ideological consistency here is that just like AOC at the Met Gala, socialism loves getting things for free. That's the entire gist of socialism. Socialism is based on the idea that you can take something from someone else's earnings and it's okay if you feel like you deserve it. You don't actually have to work for it. It doesn't have to be your labor. As long as you get the benefit, that's all that really matters. That's socialism. That's not what some people traditionally think of as socialism. They're taught in schools these days, at universities, that socialism is basically some wonderful utopia. Socialism is to, you know, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. Socialism is where basically we all pull together and we all work together, but nobody falls through the cracks and everybody has their basic needs taken care of, and whatever we define as a basic need can become a basic need. You know, one minute it's food, the next minute it's internet and cell phone. But that's socialism, right? It's this wonderful utopia where if we all just pull together, everything will be fine and dandy and everybody will have what they need. But that's not what socialism actually ends up being. Anybody that has studied socialism, anybody that has studied human history understands that's not what socialism is. There is a hierarchy in socialism, just as there's a hierarchy in capitalism. The difference is that the hierarchy in capitalism, as much as there are people on the top and there are people on the bottom, it's much more spread out. In capitalism, you can actually rise through those different ranks based on your hard work and your decisions and your personal investments. In capitalism, there is mobility through those layers. In capitalism, there are the super haves and the super have nots. But there is a range within that that the vast majority of people exist in. You might not be able to go buy a vacation home in Fiji, but you're probably also not starving to death. The vast majority of us aren't. We have to be careful about our bills. We have to live within our means, or at least attempt to. I think some people could probably learn a little bit better from that. But that's capitalism. Capitalism affords everyone the opportunity to rise. There's a hierarchy in socialism as well, except that the hierarchy in socialism says that there's a tiny sliver of haves and a huge gap with the have-nots. That's socialism. Socialism is that there's a tiny little sliver of elites who have everything and control everything, and the rest of us are down here in poverty and squalor. We may all be equal, but we're all equal in our nothingness. That's socialism. Guess which of those two categories AOC here wants to be in? AOC wants to be in that teeny tiny sliver at the top. Socialism has a hierarchy. We are not all equal in socialism. There is the ruling elite, and there is everyone else under their foot. And how she went about this, allegedly unethically getting in the first place, sucking up to a rich person that she's supposed to, you know, be against in order to get into this swanky event and wear her designer dress that she never had any intention of actually paying fair price for, screwing over all of these vendors for services that she declined to pay until they went to collections agencies and the House committee ended up getting involved. This is a woman that thinks that she is above everyone else, and she will spew nonsense as long as it gets her airtime on MSNBC and goes viral on Instagram or whatever. But as long as she's sitting pretty at the top, all the rest is smoke and mirrors. It's noise. It's lies. Not that we really needed this House Ethics Committee investigation to tell us that, but now I guess the proof is in the pudding, and we got a whole lot of it, looks like. So we'll see what ends up coming out of that. That's the Brittany Hughes Show for today. Thank you for joining me. Make sure that you head over to sharehealthcare.com. MRCTV23 is the referral code. You can check out their share cost plans. Also, make sure you head over to mrc.org/donate. We are a 501c3 organization. That means that all of our content is free to you. We don't have a subscription model. We don't put things behind a paywall. We do have some exclusive content, but we never ask for your money for it. But we do ask that if you like our content, if you like this show, if you like our videos, the other stuff that we do, the blogs that we publish over at mrctv.org, if you like our content and you follow us, please consider becoming a financial partner with us. We exist solely on donors exactly like you. If you've already done so, thank you so, so much for your support. You literally keep us employed, so thank you for that. Also, make sure that you go over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button on The Brittany Hughes Show. That way you won't ever miss an episode. You don't have to rely on YouTube to send you a little ding every time we post one, which they do not do like half the time. So make sure you subscribe to the show over on Apple Podcasts. Also, subscribe to the Newsbusters podcast while you're over there. That one is on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with Tim Graham. Until next time, I will see you back here on Thursday. Have a phenomenal weekend. God bless.